want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome back, folks. Here in the Corporation Nation, here on Republic Broadcasting. Let's see, I got Chris in Colorado. I also have Chris in Las Vegas on the line. Chris, I just joined you because my board op needed to go do something real quick. It's going to be away from the controls, so just hang tight. We'll get to you in a second. Chris in Colorado. anything else, my friend?
Yeah, I just want to find out what does the phrase "we the people" exactly mean? Who are we? Who are we the people?
Yeah,
Who is we?
Well, so when you go to the Constitution and you look at that could only be the people who signed the Constitution.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's the people who signed it. I wasn't there. Just so you know, I didn't sign it.
Yeah, I get it. Trust me, I love Spooner. I love Lysander Spooner. I mean, I wrote a piece on the people not too long ago on my blog, just making fun of the whole concept of the people. The concept that, you know, when we look at and we try to figure out who the people is, considering that the people are suing us all the time. Wait, I thought we were the people. I don't get it. Yeah. Well, so the notion of the people. I'll give you a hint, man. The word people, the word common, the word general, the word goyim, the word gentile, they all mean the same thing. Okay, there's no distinction between these words. They call the common people, they call the mass of illiterates, basically, is how they refer to the common people. So people, right, is sort of a, people is a generic term, except in the Constitution where it's capitalized. So when we say becoming part of the people again, the states are the people. The people are the state. They are the same thing, basically. And so the state is set up specifically for that group of people. Each state is also we the people, right? So you have to actually, in order to be one of those people, you'd actually have to be a member of the state, which we are not. Remember, we've given up that right, we've given up that status in exchange, right, for the capacity of being U.S. citizens. Now that happens, of course, at birth. We have really no say in it because we have no idea it's happening, neither do our parents. Remember, the birth certificate is the matrix, that initial document that is created, which all other copies have to be made from. So that's the womb. The matrix means the womb. So we're born, we're birthed right into the state, right into the United States as bastards, basically. We don't have any parents because our parents abandoned us. That's what delivery means. So we're in that state. We have the choice at any time to abandon that state and become one of the people of the states. You see, that's the thing. And all that really means is you're getting rid of the tie, the ship that the United States has given you to sail on interstate commerce in admiralty law. You're no longer going to act in an international capacity. You're going to act as the closest thing to a free man you can be, which is one of the people of the states. Keep in mind that when you put cows on a farm, that's called peopling. When you put pigs in a pen, That's called peopling. When you put people, when you put men or citizens within a territory, that is also called peopling. All right. So it has a very generic meaning, and then if it's in a contract or a compact like state constitutions or federal constitutions, then it has a very specific meaning. And when it's in the state constitutions, see, we are not the people of the states, and therefore we don't have any of the protections that are afforded by the U.S. Constitution, which only is restricted to the states, which are the people of the state. I hope that makes sense.
So, okay, I'll just sum it up, what I think you're saying, real quickly, and then you can let me go. So, we are people, but we are not we the people, therefore we don't have sovereignty.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it that way. Yeah,
I don't know how else to say it, because the we the people, the way we're discussing it is very strict in the sense that only those people actually the government, so they have sovereignty.
To be part of the people, I don't think you can legitimately say I am a people, but to be part of the sovereign people is to say I'm part of the sovereign state. The two words are sort of interactive. If I say the word people and I say the word state when I'm referring to the 50 states, then I'm pretty much saying the same thing. And the only compact between the states and the United States is basically to administer United States property and the protection clause and all of that stuff. So you don't want to be United States property anymore, is what I'm saying. And that's what we are.
But the thing that you're talking about is basically aiming at being a private citizen of your state. But that's not necessarily, I mean, that's not necessarily being a sovereign.
Well, like I said, there is no, you cannot be a, in my opinion, now, maybe I'm wrong, I certainly haven't had anybody correct me so far, is that you cannot be a sovereign unless you have someone that you're making a rule for. You know, you can say that God is your sovereign, you can say that you're part of a sovereign people, but you cannot yourself be sovereign, because then you'd have no law. What would be the law? Right.
So I mean, you're basically saying we're all still going to be under the law. It's just like one move away from, you know, the federal government.
I mean, I like the way, you know, I was reading this simulacra and simulation book, and he basically says there's three orders of the simulated reality that we live in. One is the simulacra that our nature, so this is like a copy without an original. The problem is we do not fit into the natural scheme of things, right? And so the simulacra that we like to hold on to, or the simulation, is that of religion. So we have religion to guide our moral compass. Unfortunately, and so we have to kind of embrace that it is a simulacra. It's a simulated reality, if you will, naturalist type of stuff founded on the image, on imitation and counterfeit, that aim for the restitution or the ideal institution of nature made in God's image, right? We can't, we are naturally destructive. I mean, we eventually corrupt too easy, and so we have to have some sort of simulation, some sort of government, some sort of religion, whatever, that guides our actions so that we are in harmony with nature. That's the simulacra of the natural. And the simulacra of what we're experiencing now is sort of the machinist version, the production, the without end productivist energy, and all these things that we're doing, sort of a Promethean type of goal. The aim of continuous globalization and expansion of indefinite liberation of energy, to the point where we're entering into the third state of what is possible, which is what was presented in the Matrix movie, founded on information, the model, the computer, the cybernetic game, basically. Total, operationality, hyper-reality, basically virtual reality, if you will. And if you notice, most of our jobs now are to basically manage the virtual world, the banking, money, and all of these different things. So we're going from... we're going through the procession of these sort of things. We're losing religion, or we've lost religion. We've gone into a state where it's separation of church and state. We're now totally in the state which is just absolute pure production with no end, expansion with no reason. And now we're entering into this sort of information age, which is just absolutely going to be completely false, completely absolutely ridiculously opposed to nature 100%, where we're ignoring nature and going into a computer world. So my theory, or my vision of what the state government is, becoming a private citizen, if you will, of the state and falling back under the protections or the restrictions that the Constitution has towards that, is the freest you're going to get. Because otherwise... you're just going to be considered a prisoner of war, some treasure that can be found by the militarized government. So you have to have some form of protection, some form of government. And I think that the closest thing that we have to that in this day and age, to that which is the naturalist, or the aim for the restitution of the ideal institution of nature made in God's image, the closest thing we have to that is the state governments, which are the republics, which is what was talked about in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, etc. So it's trying to follow God's law, in other words. And so the closest thing I think that we can possibly do at this moment in time is to go back into those republics and be private citizens within the states and without the United States jurisdiction whatsoever. And that's kind of what KW, I think, is that's his current status, if you will.
Right, right. I kind of see what you're saying. It's a very, I guess I would describe it as a tightrope situation.
Well, yeah, because that kind of existence. Think of it this way. He is now walking a tightrope. He is walking on eggshells now, very happily so. Keep that in mind. But the second he gets out of line, the second he goes against the natural law, the second he does harm... if he does harm to you or me, and I'm a U.S. citizen, then he's literally doing harm to a piece of property of the United States. He will be injured back into the United States real quick if he does something harmful. So, you know, you don't have you don't have the protections that you had when it comes to the United States. The United States is now a foreign entity, as before the state was a foreign entity.
Right. Yeah, see, that's, to me, that's not, this is my personal view, my private view, that, to me, that's not breathing freely.
But you gotta understand that he actually has protections from the United States. So if you read the Constitution, those are the protections that he will have. The United States can't do much to him, but if he was just nothing, let's say, the concept of being a Christian on the land with no government whatsoever, in other words, quote unquote sovereign, there is no protection whatsoever. You are literally a target in the
scope of
government. You see the difference?
I see what you're saying. I was a little confused at where you were driving at, but I see what you're saying.
So as long as you can live a life that you do no harm, you can still live under that protection that was originally intended with the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, I just see the only general solution, what you're talking about is kind of a private individual solution of someone that's knowledgeable about law and going into court and creating his own solution. But in terms of the people, I think I've talked to you about this before, the only institution that can possibly recognize the natural dignity or natural law of the individual is a church. And that's where I think the separation of church and state goes absolutely awry, because once the state gets out of hand, there's no buffer.
Well, see, that's the other difference here, is that all of a sudden, when you go back into this, to the being a private citizen with your domicile and residence in the state, you suddenly have protection of religion again. You don't have it right now.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You have everything that the Constitution is restricted from.
You will have everything
again. But as a employee of the United States, you don't have those things. The Constitution doesn't apply. You see, it's hard to think this way because you're naturally inclined to think that a citizen of the United States is the one that's getting all the rights and protections, but it's the opposite.
So I see
the United States as one glass, and I see the 50 states as another glass. And as more people graduate back into the states themselves, into the republics, then that glass is going to get a lot fuller, more full, and the state that is the Washington, D.C. is going to get a lot less empty, and it's going to get a lot less legitimate.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you go.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Chris in Las Vegas. Welcome, sir.
Coming up with... Good evening, Clint.
Good evening.
You're certainly coming up with some very interesting word terms this evening, but the predominant one that we're talking about, if I get it right, is sovereign. And my contemplations, what I've learned, is the word sovereign is a dualistic word made up of two major component parts. Sov, meaning self, and reign, meaning to rule, regulate, control, manipulate, or regulate. And that we're truly, according to our Creator, supposed to be sovereigns without serfs or without slaves, ruling over ourselves, being self-controlled, rather than to have other men control us.
Yeah, as long as you're doing so under the laws of God, yeah, absolutely. But to do so without any law above you, without any God, then that's a whole different story.
I think Cicero said that we can either be ruled by corrupt men or venial judges. I think venial judges means blood-sucking judges. And where we find ourselves these days and times, you might note on the DS-11, the immigration form for registration for your passport, there are two checkboxes for types of individuals you might choose to be. First one is the U.S. citizen, subject to the power of Congress, subject force being serf or slave, and enjoying mere privileges that Congress provides.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what Congress provides, Congress can take it away. That's the reason they can give all these migrants and illegals all of our benefits. The second box is the U.S. national, which I like to think they're referring rather stealthily to the Union State National, what we might have formerly termed to be the non-resident alien, foreign to Corp U.S. specifically.
I think the first one, when you say giving away all of our benefits, they're not our benefits. Again, that's a private international law corporation that they've created, and they're more than happy to have... As we can see, they're more than happy to give a bunch of people from all around the world, not the least of which is Mexican, they're happy to enslave them into that system, just like we're enslaved into it. I think to think of the second government that we read about in this court case, which was what we're
mm-hmm.
talking about, the one that is not subject to the Constitution, to think of that as anything but a separate private business entity of the United States is foolhardy, because that, again, it has nothing to do with the kind of sovereignty, the kind of romantic patriotism we're talking about. That is just a business for them. So that to say that is us, or you know, all the people who are saying they're giving all our benefits away, they're giving all our money away, it's their money and it's their business. So I can see why they'd want to get as many people enslaved to their citizenships as possible.
Well, I may have been inartful in the way I stated that. Actually, if they're going to take money from us under the FICA tax, the Socialist Slavery Plan, and supposedly keep it in trust, of course, which is, who knows, a lot of BS, we like to think, since they took our money, that there are benefits, I guess, of the delusion we operate under.
Yeah.
However, your perspective about the dualistic nature of the courts, which they sometimes call a two-hat system, is absolutely on point. They're the de jure court system of what we know from the 1789 Judiciary Act is the small d, small c, district courts of the U.S., the American courts for American law for Americans, as opposed or juxtaposed, some might say, controversial to and foreign to the U.S. district. Some might spell it D-I-S. D-I-S in front of the word means it has an evil purpose. The word follows, and T-R-I-C-K, which sounds very much like T-R-I-C-T, district courts.
Jackson versus Magnolia in 1852 spoke just, again, forewarning of what this of what was happening. And this happened right away. It just didn't get real horrible until our, you know, until the last few generations in the 1900s. Next to revenue taxes itself, next to revenue itself, meaning taxes, the late extensions of the jurisdiction of the Admiralty, which is automatically international law of the sea, are our greatest grievance. The American courts of admiralty seem to be forming by degrees into a system that is to overturn our Constitution and to deprive us of our best inheritance, the laws of the land. So this law of the sea has flooded the law of the land. We're swimming in it. We have ships from the United States, citizen ships to sail on that sea. It would be thought in England a dangerous innovation if the trial of any matter on land was given to the Admiralty. So, you know, it's even comparing us to England, saying England is better than us. I mean,
shine a little light on the Admiralty concept, when you think of Admiralty as truly the law of the sea, the law of the sea, of course, is the Pharisee. And the Pharisees were the murderous, rapacious hordes who were a threat from the sea, who invaded all the countries along the sea coast. But then they learned to masquerade and mask themselves as merchants instead of mercenaries, and use the merchant trade craft to infiltrate their intended victims to take them over from within, surreptitiously, as one might say, like a Trajan or a Trojan horse, some call it, where they adopt the customs and the lifestyles of the people they plan to take over eventually and live amongst them until they become very accustomed to seeing them there, and they blend in until they're ready to spring the trap. Mm. And so when we think of the law of the sea, it's truly the pirate code. And the pirate code is not really a very pleasant place for us to live, and that is exactly what the TPPT is, Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. It's the law of the sea for their planet.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, actually. I know that that was a big news thing not too long ago, just a couple of years ago. They were talking about how the law of the sea was expanding yet again. You find that Reagan expanded our the area right around the where the ocean meets the land, you know, 14 miles inland, and then Clinton expanded it to 24 miles inland, so the sea, the land became the sea, and it's crazy. And that's a really good point, Chris, is the notion of piracy, because that is, it really is the law of war. When you're talking about the law of sea, we're talking about ships who fly flags and the law of plunder and all of that stuff. That's all Admiralty law. And so all of the emergency statutes and all of the War Powers Act and all of that stuff is specifically being done through this maritime admiralty notion. Well, all the executive orders, etc.
Look a little further. You mentioned the War Powers Act. The other War Powers Act, in my esteemed opinion, is the Commerce Clause, because the etymology of the word commerce, com, means of, with, from, by, through, and merc, M-E-R-C, is the root word where mercenary and merchant comes from.
Yeah.
And so it is a form of war, using commercial activities as a war front in order to prey upon the people. And of course, you mentioned the name earlier, the private corporate trade nom de guerre, the name for war, that they commit war against us, and they basically claim jump us, steal our ID at birth, and create an alternative fictitious entity with a projected outcome on our life performance and capital development and create this secret trust where they've already monetized it, securitized it. You start out at $1.8 million, and then it earns interest, and that's your SysAQ trust that they prey upon every time they lock you up in their prize zones or prisons.
Yep. You got it down, my friend.
Well, you're always very very learned, and you're very well-spoken and a great guest list host to listen to, and I certainly enjoy participating with you when you allow me, and it's always good.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. That was Chris in Las Vegas. Always a good caller. Renee in North Carolina. Welcome, Renee.
Hello.
Howdy.
Well, you know, I find this all very interesting, except, you know, we've been played, okay? And all this time that we have to spend trying to figure out how to negotiate their con game is stealing our time, our valuable time, and how we want to spend it on this earth. And that's wrong. The thing is, I don't want to have to learn how to negotiate their BS, okay? The thing is, the law, for it to be fair, needs to both be cheap and easy and simple. I think it should have to pass what I call the Forrest Gump test. Because, look, you know, you're a smart guy, but, you know, not everybody can figure out all the stuff that y'all have. And all those people that cannot, they just are at such a disadvantage that that's just not fair. You know, I've noticed patterns too in Patriot Radio, this sort of thing. I'm so glad you do cover the law, because I find that some people, that's to me the biggest boogeyman. Okay, so many people waste so much time about some little bug tyrant that's nibbling at their toes, instead of the one that is really big and can bash your head in. And some of their tyrants that they perceive as tyrants aren't even really tyrants. They just kind of have sexist or racist issues, okay?
I think the mistake that people make is thinking that this is the same notion as putting your faith in men or putting your faith in things that aren't real, that aren't natural. I think the mistake people make is to assume that the law will automatically somehow protect them, even though the law is just a couple words on a piece of paper. You see, the when you say, yeah, definitely, I've spent a lifetime now, it seems, learning all this stuff, but the reason that I understood right away why I had to learn it is because I understood that I had to apply it. I couldn't just sit back.
I'm glad people like you have, but you have to understand not everybody can. You know, Fred Rodell in 1939, the famous law professor from Yale, they say he had 180 IQ. He realized real quick, and he refused to practice. He only taught. And he wrote "Woe unto you lawyers," and he called it a high-class racket. I don't want to be a part of their racket. And then I have another book right here with me, written by Jerry Spence, I think in 1989, with Justice for None. The thing is, the whole thing is a racket, and I don't want to learn to play it. To me, it needs to be torn down. Another thing I really resent is this. If I make a mistake, and I go, well, I didn't know that was illegal. They go, oh, well,
Hold that thought. We got to go to a break real quick. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by. Teach your children well.
Folks, welcome back.
Your father's hell.
Very much appreciate someone from the chat room actually sent me this. This was a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. And when we listen to these kind of things, they're kind of offensive on the surface, but if you actually examine what's being said, especially pertaining to what we were just talking about, Renee, it really does make sense. Why do you need to learn the law if for all other reasons? If it's just to avoid it, that's fine. But how do you avoid it? You have to govern yourself. As regards to the first set of dangers, it behooves us to remember that men can never escape being governed. Either they must govern themselves or they must submit to being governed by others. If from lawlessness or fickleness, from folly or self-indulgence, they refuse to govern themselves, then most assuredly in the end they will have to be governed from the outside. They can prevent the need of government from without only by showing that they possess the power of government from within. A sovereign cannot make excuses for his failures. A sovereign must accept the responsibility for the exercise of the power that inheres to him. And where, as is true in our republic, the people are sovereign, then the people must show a sober understanding and a sane and steadfast purpose if they are to preserve that orderly liberty, upon which, as a foundation, every republic must rest. So, I mean, basically what he's saying is, what I was trying to say is, you can't just have a law and expect it to protect you. If you want the law to protect you, you have to know it inside and out, and you have to use it, and you have to make sure that the people who are trying to govern you are standing in honor according to their own law. You must. There's no choice. Either you are being governed or you're governing yourself. There's no other way. It's always going to be that way. I wish I could say and be hopeful and say someday there will be no government, but it's just not going to happen. We always have to have some form of simulation that keeps us in check, that our morals, our values, our ethics come from. Without that, we will fall apart, and someone will always come in and will be weakened from within, and someone will always come in and take us over. So the necessity for this type of notion of government is always going to be there, and I know that doesn't sit well with some people in the different movements out there, but you know, you have to govern yourself or you're going to be governed. That's the point. It's always going to be that way. It always has been that way.
Practically impossible. One, they use Latin terminology that people can't understand. They make it millions of pages long, written in legalese. They tell me, let's see, ignorance of the law is no excuse, but they make it almost impossible to understand.
Absolutely.
The thing is, they don't even know all the law, okay? If they couldn't read it all if they spent their entire lifetime reading. So you're asking me to be held accountable to something that is humanly impossible.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm telling you that the way to not be accountable to that is to get out of that system, to stop being bound by it, because being bound by it and knowing it are the same thing according to the maxims of law. The fact that you are a citizen of the United States makes you bound by the law whether you know it or not. You've heard the term, I know you've heard this term, Renee, the term false flag. False flag is an admiralty term. It was from when ships would carry the incorrect flag. Well, the United States flag, which is a wartime flag, if it was peacetime, the stripes would be going up and down. That flag is a false flag. It is representing something that it is not. We look at the United States flag as the real flag, as the flag of our actual God-given rights and liberties, but it's not. It's a false flag, and we fall for it for exactly that intended purpose. So I'm telling you that, no, you don't have to know all of these millions of codes. What you have to know is why you are bound by it, and then get out of that binding contract. That's what I'm telling you. Now, then it doesn't apply. They can come at you all they want with their little codes and their little lawyers and their little attorneys and their little accountants, but if you have as KW has a declaratory judgment that says, no, I'm not part of your system, I'm not bound, I'm not subject to it, then all of that, you don't need to know it. All you need to know is how to keep yourself out of it. And what does he say here, Mr. Roosevelt? He says you have to be responsible for your own actions. That's all you have to do. Never harm anybody else. And you'll never have to be forced to go into their system.
Cheat. They cheat. The thing is, they will cheat. If they see themselves losers, they have prosecutors who withhold evidence. The thing is, the legal system, they cheat. You can't depend on them playing fairly.
But they cheat because you don't know the rules. I mean, you can't keep blaming, you know, if you're a sports team and you're playing another sports team and you don't know the rules, then chances are they're going to win, right?
I have been in a courtroom where I gave testimony. I was there and I heard testimony, and later when I got the transcripts of the trial, exhibits I saw admitted into the court record were removed, and the transcripts had been whitewashed and parts taken out of it.
Sure.
So I have no illusions about these people playing by the rules.
They will play by any rule that is put in front of them. That's the honest truth. If you present a rule, if you show them that they're breaking their own rules, suddenly they play by the rules. That's the thing. That's what you have to know the rules, and you have to introduce the law before you even go to court.
But what about
they're not they're not there to help you. You have to help yourself. What's that?
All those hoops and stuff. They've done everything they can to make sure people can't know it. And I'm grateful to people like you because it does expose it, who have done all this. But there's a lot of people, they're maybe too busy raising 5 kids. They don't have time to do all this stuff. And all of a sudden they find themselves in a predicament and they have to be trying to get up to speed.
And I get that. And that's why I've done what I've done and sacrificed so much to learn what I've learned. In order to hopefully help people just like that and set up a system where people can maybe cross over from that system so they're not bound by that system. The reason they're in such trouble is that I don't know how to put this in a nice way. You have to stop blaming the system and realizing that as long as you're part of the system, you're the problem. All of us are the problem. Our ignorance is the problem. Our participation, our consent, our lack of understanding and knowledge is the problem. We must start putting the blame where it belongs. There's always going to be evil people. There's always going to be evil systems and corporations and governments that are there to catch the weak, to catch the ignorant, to catch to catch the corrupt. And that's what we're doing. We're acting in corruption. So as long as we don't acknowledge that, and as long as we don't put the blame on ourselves, then we belong in the system that Mr. Roosevelt just described. And that's all I can say. You have to start taking personal responsibility. And I know what you mean when you say that the law is pretty much endless. It's certainly bigger than a bread box. And I get that. But you don't have to know all that. You just have to know the principles of law. You have to understand what your position is in that law as a contracted citizen, basically. And then you have to figure out how to break away from that. Because then all that law doesn't apply. But you have to be able to show that. Anyway, I'm going to go to some more callers. Thanks, Renee. Let's go to Jane in Canada. Welcome, Jane.
Hello.
Howdy.
Thanks for all your research.
Yeah.
Okay, I just have a question. If someone wants to do what KW did, does it matter what state they are in? Like, for example, would you have a different result in Utah than what KW got in Kentucky?
The administrative laws, for instance, a good example would be the DMV code in every state changes from state to state. The roots of it are the same, but the administrative process is left up to the states. So you'll find different driving rules in each state. But for the most part, all of that relies on agency. All of that relies on the fact that you are operating that citizenship, that person within the state as a foreigner. So as soon as you become part of whatever state it is, then that's it. Now, I would probably balk at that when I'm talking about Alaska and Hawaii. I would be cautious. But the 48, what do they call them, contingent states, are yes, they would be uniform throughout. Because what we're talking about is the uniform administration of federal laws for federal agents. We're acting as federal agents within the state. So yes, it would be the same in all states, but the laws per the states would be different. So you'd have to definitely study up on, one, where you want to do it, and two, the laws of that particular state.
Okay.
Because
yep,
I mean, if you think about it, what you're doing is you're going under the Constitution of the state, as opposed to the Constitution or the laws of the United States. You're actually going back into your proper place, if you will. So if you better darn well know the laws of your state if you're going to go and be under them. And most of those, as far as I understand, will be that there will be no tyrannical law, because you're not operating in a capacity where they can dictate what your person does, if that makes sense. Because you're going back into your sort of unalienable kind of type of status. Hard to put into words, but okay. You're not operating in commerce anymore. You're operating out of commerce, and so all those commercial laws don't apply, even the ones in the state.
Okay, I'm afraid to say anything because I'll just.
I'll keep having KW on the show, and like I said, I'm going to go through this process. I mean, I've certainly done enough research now since I first met KW to understand that he's right on with everything he says. And now that I go back to everything I've previously researched, I see the word agency all over the place. Agent, agency, principal, all the key words are there. I just never knew what they meant. So... But we'll hopefully get something tangible that people can actually follow, and I'm certainly going to do it myself. So,
thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Tom in Kansas. Welcome, Tom.
My question has to do with the DMV, and anyway, make a long story short, I was in a parking lot and received a DUI while standing outside my vehicle and on private property. Anyway, it went on. I beat it. It was dismissed finally, but the DMV is now requiring me to put a breath machine on my car in order to be able to be issued a driver's license again. And I know that that's a contract and all. And I was just wondering what I should do on that.
Did you have a conviction that said you were drinking and driving?
I was charged. It was eventually dismissed in the appellate court.
Well, if you're not on the record as actually having been convicted of the crime, then there should be no precedent for you to be forced to have that on your car.
I was thinking about going to my representative and showing him the outcome of it and showing him what it says in Title 18 of the U.S. criminal statutes and I think it's under Chapter 13, 241 about the restricting my rights.
Yeah. Well, there's another thing about the DMV is kind of funny. A lot of that stuff is voluntary, so they don't tell you it's voluntary. For instance, some of the eye exams, the glasses, that kind of thing. If you read some of the codes, you'll find that a lot of that stuff is actually a voluntary action. They'll make it sound like it's a requirement, but when you read everything involving it, you'll find that it's a consent-based thing, and you don't have to consent, but you'll have to not consent in writing. You might want to try a letter that says, "I don't consent to this. I thanks for the offer, but I don't consent." If you're trying to prevent me from traveling lawfully, then we're going to have a problem.
Okay, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't get. You can't harm yourself by saying you don't consent to something. They'd have to prove to you then that it's a requirement somehow of the law in the operation of commerce. So,
yeah, they're saying that because I refused to do their blow machine that my breath test, they're saying that that's basis for them not to reissue my driver's license, which
yeah.
I don't want anyway. And
I would say that's a bunch of crap. Honestly, I think they're just doing what they're trained to do, which is, you know,
yeah,
something comes across someone's desk. Yeah, I mean, I would send them a letter asking them, it's saying you don't consent and asking them for the reasons or showing them the statute that says that is a requirement. Because if it's just a, again, if it's hearsay, if it's just a, something they do internally, then it's then you cannot consent to it. So,
all right. Well, I appreciate your help. Yeah. And I'll follow that advice.
Yeah, you might want to call Bert too if you need some help writing a letter or something. Onlyfreemen.com. You can get his Bert at onlyfreemen.com. B-U-R-T. He's good at writing those kind of letters for people, and it's really not that hard. But he could probably find some case law as well that might help you.
Yeah. Okay. But I agree with what you're just saying to the. Or what Roosevelt said about the part about, well, with freedom comes responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
All right, my friend. Take care and good luck. Sovereign Man, Freedom Land, welcome.
Greetings and salutations. Thank you for having me on, Clint.
And to you.
In reference to the driver's license, that's all voluntary. I believe that the Motor Vehicle Act is a uniform code throughout all the states, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a uniformly applied federal code, basically, administrated by the states, yeah, for foreign agents. I'll tell you what, man, hold that thought. We just got one last little break here. Stay tuned, folks. How's the people living in the street?
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Heart problems were in my family, and I did notice these chest pains occasionally. I decided to try it, and I don't think I'm going to stop for quite a while. Nothing has worked as well as this product has promised to. I've taken, supplements and that sort of thing, and never really noticed a difference.
Well, I turned 60, and when I went into the doctor to get my reports, the lady at the desk, she looked at it, and she says, "Wow." I says, "What's that say?" So she came back and looked at my last check. She says, "Well, you've gone down half on your cholesterol." So she says, "I guess don't do a thing, only what you're doing right now."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. Did you see the frightened ones? Did you hear the falling bombs? Did you ever wonder why we had to run for shelter when the promise of a brave new world unfurled beneath
Mommy, there's no place.
Chaos Theory Hurricane Control. Advanced cloud seeds. Massive ionospheric heaters. Storm-absorbing supergels. Nanoscale weather machines.
Welcome back, folks, here at the Corporation Nation. Hey, I want to remind folks, going to be in Philadelphia this coming April. That's the 10th, if I'm not mistaken, it's the 10th, 11th, and 12th, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's the FreeYourMindConference.com. FreeYourMindConference.com. Tickets are available. Should be a good time. That's being run by Mr. Bob Tuscan, who's coming on next, actually. Sovereign Man. I think it helps to remember that anything in a commercial capacity is always going to be federal, and it basically in an international structure, or admiralty structure, and that the way to really know that we're talking about something federal here is that the word commerce and the word traffic are interchangeable.
It's simply
a federal structure of international or interstate commerce or interstate human trafficking that is run on the state level for foreign agents.
Actually, the Department of Motor Vehicle is what's known as a quasi-governmental agency.
Yeah.
And it is international in scope. And that gentleman that called in, he entered into contract possibly without reservation of right when he entered into that contract, so he cannot vary from his agreement. And if he read the agreement, it says that he would consent to a breathalyzer when the authorities would present him with it. But simply by him refusing to comply gives them, the ability to take him before hearing and possibly revoke or suspend his privilege.
Well, yeah, I know that I don't want to say you're wrong or right, honestly. I think it's just a matter of how you fight.
I've gone through it, Clint. I do currently hold that piece of paper, that contractual piece of paper, because I wanted to retain that, because I do operate in commerce occasionally. Like if I want to go to U-Haul and rent a truck, or if I want to rent a car to the Free Your Mind conference, I need to have that instrument because I'm going to be involved in commerce. But I have spoken to some other individuals that are like-minded, and I've spoken with one, and they actually have acquired what's known as the International Driving Permit. And that will also be accepted by U-Haul and Enterprise or whatever, any type of, commercial organization. So I may be soon relinquishing that, too.
Does that fall under the DMV code, then?
I guess it's international in scope. And the DMV, like I said, is actually international in scope.
Yeah.
But see, that way, that eliminates that joinder with that organization called the state. See, when I speak to myself as a sovereign, I mean I'm a man on the land. I'm not necessarily one of the people. I'm me. Okay, and I govern myself. Okay, I can join into other organizations or other groups if I choose. Through verbal contract or through written contract.
Right.
Ultimately, I am my own sovereign.
Well, I'd love to talk to you more about that because I'm curious how you would actually enforce that, I guess, would be the best question, but we are out of time. Maybe call back some other time, but thanks, man. All right, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
With financial uncertainty.